Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters,
keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon. I'm Jaron Vecchio. And joining me over the phone is the mayor of the regional municipality of Wood Buffalo, Don Scott. Don, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. It was a good meeting last night. We got through a lot of agenda items, and we had a lot of participation from residents, so it was a good meeting.
All right. Well, we are going to talk about the council meeting, but there's still a few topics we have to chat about beforehand. And starting off with residential schools, and we saw the discovery of the remains of 215 children down at a residential school in Kamloops in B.C., for a lot of people, it was, you know, quite the shock. For a lot of people, especially up here in town, who probably know a little bit more about residential schools because there are residential school survivors in town. Unfortunately, it wasn't a surprise just because we know about some of the horrors that these people have had to they've had to deal with. We've been told that, you know, words aren't enough anymore. There needs to be action when it comes towards, you know, reconciliation and properly healing from this. I'm curious as to what do you think needs to happen next to, you know, for these individuals and for, you know, all our Indigenous communities in the region to properly heal from these schools?
Well, what I expect to happen is that there will be, you know, a decision made by the leadership, the Indigenous leadership, as to what the action should be. And I think we have got to pay close attention, all those who are not Indigenous, to what those requests are. If it's a search of all the remaining former residential school sites, that's certainly something I would support, but I believe the Indigenous community is going to lead what those calls should be. And I think that's exactly what should happen. You know, I think one of the critical things we need to do is listen and then take action. And the listening part is listening to what Indigenous leadership are calling for, not only, you know, the situation, but on all items connected to Indigenous matters. We've got to be careful listeners, and then we've got to take action that's related to what is actually being requested.
Mm-hmm. We hear about education when it comes to residential schools, and I'll be honest, and I've mentioned it on the show a couple times now, I didn't know much about these schools when I first moved up here, and it was hearing people's personal stories and that really drove me to want to learn a little bit more and, you know, just learn more about the horrors that actually happen. And I'm not the only person who has that similar experience where they just didn't know much. I'm curious as to, were you brought up to speed on residential schools when you were growing up, Don? Was it something that you learned more, like myself, when you moved out here, where we do have a lot of survivors here? And do you think there is a lack of education when it comes to these schools?
Yeah, there needs to be a lot more education. I was educated on it because I'm a lawyer by background, and the Law Society has a training program that's related to Indigenous issues, and the residential schools is part of that. So I was familiar from that perspective. However, that is nothing like speaking to former survivors, and we have several in this region. I'm not going to identify anyone. They may want to identify themselves. I'm not sure if they'd want me to, but I've spoken to them about their experience. I spoke to somebody shortly after the discovery of the 215 young people at the Kamloops site, and, you know, that person was on the verge of tears recounting some of the circumstances they personally experienced. And what we talked about is that we don't think that that situation is unique to that area. And that person was in a residential school in Fort Chipewyan in Alberta. So, you know, our region had a residential school. Everyone needs to be aware of that. And the circumstances you're hearing about residential schools in other places, they likely happened here as well. Now, we don't know to what extent and what circumstances were. I would leave that to the Indigenous people to speak for themselves about what happened and what steps should be taken. But what happened in Kamloops is not unique. We had one right here in Wood Buffalo. And I think one of the important things about this is everyone needs to educate themselves on what happened at these horrific schools.
Mm-hmm. And we did hear from one residential school survivor, Lori Gallagher, last week. And like you had mentioned there, Don, you could just hear the raw emotion coming from Lori. It was heartbreaking. We're going to take our first break here in just a second, but there's one other topic I want to chat with you about. And, you know, the horrific attack that happened in London, Ontario. A Muslim family, three generations, killed one 9-year-old boy without his family now, and it's absolutely heartbreaking. Again, from what we were talking about residential schools, and what we've been hearing is that, you know, words aren't good enough anymore. There needs to be action to stop these racial tendencies from continuing. Is there any action that can be taken now? I know this is probably a conversation that would have to happen with RCMP, but have you talked to RCMP? Is there anything that we can do now just to stop this hate from, you know, getting to the point where we have another horrific accident, not accident, incident? This was clearly on purpose in London.
Yeah, this is an act of terror, and it's disgusting what this terrorist did to the Muslim community and to Canadians, because, you know, an incident like this impacts us all. And I think the raw emotion is, you can feel it in this event as well, and how we're all impacted by it. But the RCMP are increasing their patrols and their assistance to the Muslim community in our region. So that was coordinated shortly after these events unfolded. And I think that's something that's important. We need for the Muslim community to feel secure and safe in our region. We have a new leader at the RCMP in our region, and he's somebody that I have a lot of faith in. His name is Mark, and he's attending to that, and I'm very glad to see that. We had the issue of recede. I'm not sure if everybody in our community understands what recede is, but it's a community committee that is made up of individuals who come to council and give us advice on steps we should be taking. And we made some decisions last night to increase the membership of that committee. And one of the issues that they deal with, one of the key issues is to, it's on inclusion, diversity, and equity. And one of the issues they deal with is Islamophobia. It's exactly these kind of issues, you know, racism, Islamophobia. It's right across the board, things that would impact people. So that's what council, that's an immediate step that council took. Now, there's a lot of other things that are going to happen. I expect that committee will come forward in the future, and I expect our Muslim community, who are very engaged, I've been hearing from several members of the Muslim community since this event unfolded. And I know that there's been a real show of strong support in our region for our Muslim community. And that's as it should be. We support our Muslim community, and we always will. And we're not going to let somebody who commits an act of terror decide the fate of Canadians and our Muslim community.
It's no secret that there are people in this region who have the same racist ideology as the one individual in London. And we know that in at least one case where, you know, these individuals are going through the law, and it seems more like it's just a slap, you know, on the wrist. Do you think there needs to be harsher punishments for these, you know, these races?
I do, because rules are good to have. It's good to have a rule, but if you don't have it backed up by sanctions, you're not going to get much result. You can imagine if you have a rule that says, you know, don't speed around school zones and people just keep speeding. If you don't have sanctions to back it up, someone's, you know, there's going to be an injury. So I believe that sanctions are important. This is obviously something that's important, and I think sanctions need to be enhanced. The way that can be enhanced is by the federal government. They have access to all the tools they need. The criminal code is within their jurisdiction. They're the ones that can control it. So they could make sweeping changes and increase the penalties, and that would act as more of a deterrence. And that's what people want to feel safe. And if you're not feeling safe, if somebody's intimidating you, bullying you, making racist comments or doing this, please report it to the RCMP. I've seen it myself many times. I've gotten all sorts of letters from people that include racist remarks and statements. And take it straight to the RCMP, because bringing light to these things, that's what they hate. They hate it when light is brought to it. They think they can hide. But I'm not going to tolerate racist views, and I never will. And I hope that no one in this community does as well. And just keep fighting it. We've got to fight this it's a disgusting. It's often a source of people that don't have education, I suspect. But nevertheless, I think we need to keep fighting it. We need to stand united, not only with our Muslim community, but with all those who are attacked in these kind of circumstances or bullied. You know, racism is just, in my view, it's something that people try to do to intimidate the members of our community, and we're not a community that's going to be intimidated.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott. And so far, we've been talking about the discovery at a residential school in Kamloops, the remains of 215 children. Also, the vile attack that happened in London to a Muslim family. And we've been talking about what's needed next, the next steps. I wanted to go back to the council meeting that happened earlier this week, Mayor Scott. And you brought up a motion to lift the local state of emergency. It was brought in back in late April when the region was experiencing, I believe it was the highest case rate in all of North America. Our numbers have been drastically dropping. So is it safe to say that the drop has been maybe, you know, your rationale as to the reason we don't need this local emergency anymore?
Yeah, we're seeing things go in the right direction, and the state of local emergency achieved its aim. We got other levels of government to pay attention to what was happening up here. They lowered the qualifications to get vaccinations, the age. Just to remind everybody, the old rules were that only people over 40 could qualify, and that changed over time, but we got it changed immediately for our region, and we got extra vaccines brought up to our region. So those were two immediate reactions that arose out of the state of emergency and the strong advocacy that occurred out of that. And, you know, we brought a lot of attention to it, and we've seen our numbers dramatically decline. And, you know, I give credit to the oil sand sites who have been working hard to reduce their numbers as well. They keep giving me updates on how many people they've vaccinated, and I think the last number I heard was 8,000. It's probably closer to 10 now, just out at site. So, and I don't think their numbers are counted within our local numbers here. So, even though we show that we're high on vaccination, it's probably a lot higher than what is provincially reported for our region, which is often the case.
So, is it safe to say, in your opinion, that what we know now, that it was the right decision to declare the state of local emergency, where you mentioned that it helped get us the attention we needed to get vaccines up here and to get all these other measures, which look like they have played a big impact in our drop in numbers?
Absolutely. It was definitely the right decision. We got the attention we needed. We got the help we needed. We got the ages lowered. We got more vaccines, and we're seeing the results. The numbers are coming way down. And I give full credit to the residents of this region, our healthcare workers, all those who are delivering vaccines, thank you so much, and all those who have went out and are helping our economy get back on track by getting vaccinated, thank you, because that's what's going to make a huge difference. That is making a huge difference. And we're, I think, pretty soon we're going to see stage three, and that is pretty close to normal life, which is exactly what we want. Keep getting vaccinated, everybody. If you haven't been vaccinated, please get vaccinated. We need that done. It not only helps your friends, your neighbors, protects your family, but it helps us get back to normal life, which is what we all want. Certainly, I know today we're all excited that phase two is open. Gyms are open. There's a lot of exciting things happening right now. We are finally back on track. And I think the state of local emergency helped us achieve that. But now we need to move beyond all that. So that's why we got rid of it last night. And there is no more state of emergency.
As part of your motion that you brought up earlier this week as well, there will be a discussion on the 22nd when council meets again to repeal the local mask bylaw. Our numbers in town are still over 200, and they have been dropping every day. So there's a good chance that it might be a lot lower when we meet again, when you guys meet again on the 22nd. But in your opinion, do you think this is the right time to lift our mask bylaw?
Absolutely. I think if I could have done it in one stage last night, it would have happened. With the support of council, but because it's a bylaw, it has to come back in two stages. And so on the 22nd, we're going to debate it. And if the support of council is there, the municipal bylaw related to masks will be lifted. But what that will mean is that the provincial law will still be in effect. So there's still going to be a provincial law, but we'll be aligned with the province. As soon as the province lifts their law, which I expect to happen sometime around stage three or shortly after that, then we are perfectly aligned with them, and we're going to be free of a lot of restrictions in this region. So we'll be ready to go with the province.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to finish our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott. And Don, we have just a couple minutes left, and there's still two topics I want to chat with you about, one of them being flood insurance. And I know that this council, before last year's flood, and previous councils were talking or advocating for different types of insurance. It's definitely gone into overdrive when it comes to flood insurance since last year's flood. You guys are taking the next step, and that's advocating to the Federation of Canadian Municipalities. So what are you guys hoping to achieve by, I guess, reaching out to FCM?
Yeah, they're an advocacy branch, and that's not the only step we're taking, but it's I think it's an important one. We want to really bring attention to this because it can affect any municipality. It's hit us, and it's hitting us quite hard because we want to make sure that our residents have access to affordable flood insurance and home insurance, but it could hit any region that's near a river and waterways. So it's an important thing. Floods are, the costliest disasters in Canada, and it's very important that we advocate for access to affordable flood insurance. There's the Federal Task Force on Flood Insurance. One of the things I'm contemplating, and I'll be speaking to my council colleagues about it, is should we be doing a trip to Ottawa and Edmonton? I spoke about that at council, at the last council meeting, and for an advocacy effort on this issue, because I think it's absolutely critical going forward. The province has made some changes to the disaster relief program that make it a lot harder for our residents, and that's another issue. Because of the pandemic, we haven't had a lot of advocacy efforts in person, and I think that needs to change in these last few months, as long as the pandemic is in a situation where we can access people directly. And I think we really need to put in the effort in our last several months of this council to advocate as strongly as we can, not only on that issue, but several others, but that's got to be right there among the critical issues.
One last topic, and it's about the Franklin and Main Park that's under construction in downtown, and we now have an official name for the park. So what is it, Don?
Yeah, the name of the park is Kiam, and that's a Cree word. It means let it be or take it easy. I've heard two different descriptions of it by my indigenous contacts, so they've given me a few different phrases, but it's meant to be a relaxing name, and it's meant to signal relaxation, which is perfectly applicable to what's going to be a park that people can relax in. So I'm really excited about that.
When we're talking about the phrase potentially meaning let it be, and we know that there's a lot of opinions about the area, the old arena lands, and what happened to the buildings beforehand. Do you think that's a good phrase to use for it now that, you know, that was part of the past and now we're looking towards, you know, the future with it?
Yeah, I think we do need to, and I think it has another important aspect, which is it honors our Indigenous history. We have a strong Indigenous history in this region, and a name like this, which was brought forward by a committee that contemplated many names, and I think this is a very appropriate name, just given all circumstances and taking into account what the committee thought, and council agreed, and it became part of what we passed at the last council meeting. So I'm excited by it. I think it's a positive development.
All right, well, that's all the time we have, but Don, we always appreciate it when you spare a couple minutes to come on the show.
Thanks very much, and stay safe, everybody. Please get vaccinated. That'll help us get back to where we all want to be. Take care.
That's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at Mix1037FM.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.